Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is so good to be here. I tell you, I got to calm down a little bit from praise and worship. We serve a mighty God. He's the only one who can, right? I'm trying to be sure I got everything together. Can you hear me, Mike and Michael? Do I have this on right? Okay, because I've lost it a couple times with the greetings, with all of the big hugs, and then it completely fell apart when praise and worship started. And it's funny because I was laughing at Monica last week watching her fight with it, and I guess I shouldn't have done that. But anyway, my name is Debbie Monroe. Deborah, my given name, but Debbie. And I just got to say that I am so glad to be here this morning, if you can't tell. I feel like I am at home. And I visited last week and I felt the same way. And I've been telling people all week, you know, it's kind of this weird thing, you know, and everybody already knows Pastor Tom is weird, but it's kind of this weird thing, this weird feeling where I feel like I'm up here in my living room and I got to be careful not to get too comfortable and relaxed. And then just to see everybody, the smiles on their face, to get the hugs from everybody as if you've known me for all of my life. You have blessed me so much this morning. And what brought me here besides God was Pastor Tom. He is a dear friend. He is a wonderful friend. And I don't know if he shared with any of you at all, but he calls me his probation officer. We met, and what's brought us together is the One Plus God mission trips. And so I go on this mission trip, first mission trip to South Africa, and I meet this kind of strange guy as we were doing our planning and our training, and he didn't even know me well, but called me his probation officer. And I'm like, man, I must really got a shrewd face up here or something. But little did he know that in my past, I've been a probation officer. Now, I wasn't here in this county, so that was a good thing, or he might have really said something that he really didn't want to say. But I am so blessed to be here this morning, and I am just so elated, and I know I can't say that much, and I do have a sermon that I'm going to get to here in a minute, but I just got to say, I don't know if Pastor Tom's watching or not, or what he might be doing, but I just got to say thank you to him. And I also, there's two things I want to let him know. He might want to check out his hands-free mic, because in me trying to put this on, Mike was trying to help me. It's been in my eyeballs. It's been in my mouth. We went to the bathroom to try to get it fit, so he might want to change that out. But the other thing is that I just want to say thank you to him, because, you know, you have to be very careful about who you allow in to speak over people that God has placed in your responsibility. And so I thank him that he has allowed me here. And I also want you to know that if you decide you're never going to have me back, I've got invitations already from other people here. So I'll be back. But anyway, I'll say a quick prayer and then we'll get into the word. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing all of us together today. God, you do all things well. You are perfect. And so everyone that is here today, God, you sent. Heavenly Father. You had them to be here. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for those that I think there is a live stream. I want to thank you for those, Heavenly Father, that may be watching and may be joining us live stream. Oh, God, Lord, your presence is here. Your presence is so here, Heavenly Father. It beat us here, as a matter of fact. But we do know this, that through that praise and worship, oh, God, that we ushered in everything that you have for us. Now, Lord, as I speak, Heavenly Father, let them be your words, oh God. Let them be all that you have for everyone that is here, oh Father God. God, let me not be seen, but let me be heard through the words that you have given. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and give thanks. So, amen. So, yeah, a little bit about me. I don't know if I've said anything other than just been a big loud mouth. A little bit about me. I'm a volunteer pastor with Westerville Church of the Nazarene, and in Westerville, Ohio, of course. And so I thank them for giving me a Sunday where I could be here. Anyhow, there was a time in my life when my prayers became very, very simple, yet I was very desperate. My 38-year-old son went into the hospital through emergency. And so what started as COVID quickly became something far more serious, as he had suffered a COVID-induced heart attack. And so he had recently moved to Chicago for an employment opportunity. And but getting there, he was met with being downsized due to the impact of the pandemic. And so he had just begun, he was driving Uber, and with COVID, of course, you know, mama was saying, is that really, really safe? But he was doing it to make his ends meet, and he was determined he was going to stay in Chicago. And so I was here in Columbus, and in my mind, I'm thinking, God, that's my child. He's 38 years old, a heart attack. God, that really wasn't supposed to happen. And so I said, God, you know, my son, he's not a candidate for this. But things were moving fast. They were moving very fast. So at the time, and I remember it was January 1st, and I hadn't got my normal phone call from him, and that's what triggered me to keep calling him. But I called and found out that he was at the hospital. And hospital visits at the time, if you all remember, it was not allowed. They were not allowed unless you got the highest level of approval through then it would have been the chief of staff. And so the situation, it just kept escalating and escalating, and it was so fast. I was on the phone with doctors and nurses, and they were updating me, and they were looking to me to provide information that would help them in their medical task. And lo and behold, the hospital doctor, I get to Chicago, and I get a call from the hospital, and they offer me to come visit my son because it was appearing that he was not going to live. So, believing that my son was in his final hours, they had also talked to me about what they would do then. And but they needed to get a Kleenex here to see, this is what praise and worship does, right? But believing my son was in the final hours, let me get together, they begin the process of giving me approval to come visit. And so I hear the words in these conversations. And I get the phone call, Mrs. Monroe, should your son live, he will probably never be the same. We're going to do all we can do, but he will probably never be the same. So there were concerns about mental impairment. There were concerns about a heart transplant. There were concerns that many of his other organs might not function as well. And with the heart transplant, even if we wanted to do that, they shared with me that he probably would not live long enough to receive it. So it was in that moment my prayers became one prayer. And I was desperate. I was desperate. I was, God, just let my son live. Just let him live, Lord. And so at that time, I didn't pray for healing. I didn't pray for his restoration. What I prayed was for his survival. God, let him live. Let him live. But what I didn't realize was that even in that moment, I was asking God for less than what he was going to do. Because God didn't just spare my son's life, he restored him. He didn't just restore him, he elevated him. And I'll tell you the rest of the story in a bit. What I was asking for was for survival, but what God gave was so much more. And this is what I came to understand. See, God does not just meet our request. He transforms our lives through the power of Jesus Christ. And so we've all been there. Our prayers are real. They're real. Keep praying them. But often they are shaped by only what we can see. We pray for relief. We pray for just enough. We say, I hope all things will get a little bit better. And without even realizing it, we may be asking God for less than what he truly desires to give. But here's the truth. We ask for what will get us through, but what God wants to do is to transform us. So sometimes we ask God for what we think we need, but God responds with something far greater than what we can expect. And that is exactly where the passage that we're going to go through today takes us. Let me put these on there. So if you would, if you have your Bibles, your cell phones, or you can just listen to me read. We're going to Acts 3, chapters 1 through 10. I'll give you a bit of time to get there. So, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, and I'm reading from an NIV, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And you know what? I've been there. I've been there where my money was a little funny, where my change was a little strange, and my bank account was hilarious. And so Peter looked straight at him. He looked straight at the man, and as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. Look at us. Demanded the man to look at him. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, and this is familiar scripture, silver or gold I do not have, But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. We're at verse 7. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonderful amazement at what had happened to him. All right, thank God for the provision of his word. So, Peter and John are going to the temple for the daily hour of prayer. And so this was not a special event. This was routine and ordinary for Peter and John. And see, God often chooses ordinary moments to do extraordinary things. And so we see in verse 2, we meet a man and he's lame from birth. He didn't even know what it felt like to walk. He is carried every day and he's placed at this temple gate called Beautiful. And this is his life. Same place, same time, same condition, same struggle. This is his life. But what became normal to him was not beyond the power of God. So this man who was lame from birth asked the two disciples for money. Because that's what he knows. That's what he's done all of his life. And that's what he's used to and that's what he expects. And his experience, what they've done is they've shaped his expectations. So what he has seen before has shaped his expectations. So money is all that this man asked for. But what we will see, that is not what God gives him. Again, Peter says, silver or gold, I do not have. And I get tickled here. Every when I study, I'm like, Peter, you ain't got no money on you, you know? But he goes on to say, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. In other words, I don't have any money to give you, but what I have is far better than what you are asking for. It's far better than money. And so this is a turning point for this man. See, God did not respond to the request because if he had, the man would have only gotten the money that he requested. God responds instead to the man's condition. Peter takes the man by the hand. And remember, the man had been lame since birth. He had never felt the sensation of strength in his feet or in his ankles. And the Bible tells us they became strong. Not gradually, but immediately they became strong. They became complete. So this man who had never walked in his life stands on his legs, walks, leaps, and praises God. In that very moment, he moves from dependence to a freedom to walk, from limitations to movement, and from survival, from just survival to restoration. So he didn't just stand, he walked. He didn't just walk, he leaped. He didn't just move, he praised God. He didn't just get help. He didn't just get his tin cup filled with a couple of coins. He got a new life. The people see him. They recognize him. These are the people around the temple, right? They know who he was, but now they see what God can do. Because God because when God transforms lives, it becomes a testimony. And this is what we learn from this passage. God does not just desire to meet our requests. He desires to transform lives through the power of Jesus Christ. And okay, I think there's some good news here, because what does that mean for you? What does that mean for you and I? And this, because this is just not the man's story. This is our moment to consider. So, and when I say you, I'm speaking of me too. Where might you be asking God for less than what he wants to give? Where have your prayers become shaped by limitations instead of expectations? Oh, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying how you are praying. This is not a challenge to change what you say or how you pray. This is a challenge to pray with the heart of faith that God can do all things exceedingly and abundantly more than what we can ask for or think. See, where we might be praying, God, just fix this, or God, just help me get through this. Those are real prayers. But what if that is not all that God wants to do? Just like the lame man, he asked for money when he needed healing. So you might be asking for relief while God desires to bring a transformation. You may be asking for just enough, but God wants restoration. And so here can be a shift. While praying for just survival, or however you're praying, or what it might be that you're praying for, ensure that you are trusting God for transformation. What does he want to do? What does he want to change in these circumstances in my life? So now, I've personally seen this with my son. And in other ways. And so, like many of you, I'm sure, I know what God can do. Okay? Right, he turns bones into armies, right? He turns graves into gardens. We sung about it earlier. So today, I want you to know that my son is not just doing well, he is doing even better before. So I remember getting the call when the surgeon said, "Mrs. Monroe, we want to try one last thing. But you need to understand that the success level of living through this procedure is about as low as you can get. But we need a decision. We need you to make the decision. Can we go forward?" And he let me know that he needed to start right away. Right away. So, in other words, we can't wait for you to get here for the visitation process to be approved. We can't wait for you to get here. And so I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking that the last time I saw my son could be the last time that I would see him on this side of heaven. So I gave the approval, and I was about to leave to head to him, to the hospital. But just before leaving, I get a call, and this call comes just at the time that my son's surgery was going to start. It was noon that day. And I get a call from a pastor friend from my hometown, which is Evansville, Indiana. And man, he prayed. Where I was struggling to pray because I had so much else going on in my mind and picturing my son in whatever kind of shape, he prayed. And oh, how he prayed. And so while I was seeing that if I ever would see my son again, that it would never be the same, and that he was near his deathbed, and I get Pastor Robinson's call, and he says, let me pray with you. And so his prayer saw well beyond where I could get, yet well beyond where my expectations were lying at that time. You see, Pastor Robertson's prayer was regarding restoration, and it was how restoration could happen through the power of God, and how God again could do so much more than what I was thinking and what I was asking at the time, and crying, nose, and all that stuff. But after that phone call, I had to pull myself together, and I start the drive to the hospital. And my son lived in North Chicago, which is where I was at the time, which is almost Wisconsin. And I was up against traffic, and I had to try to get downtown quickly. And I just need to hear from some of you to say, but God. But God, I was about halfway there, and I get a phone call, and it's the hospital. And a surgical technician, I remember, she said, you know, who she was, and she screams my name in my ear. I didn't know whether to be scared. I didn't know what to be. But I could hear behind her yelling and excitement in her voice. And she said, Mrs. Monroe, let me give the phone to the surgeon because he wants to talk to you himself. He wants to give you this news. So the doctor takes the phone, right? And completely out of professional composure, he is screaming in my ear, it's a miracle! It's a miracle! He said, I just need you to know, if you don't know, that it's nothing that I have done. He said, now we're going to continue monitoring your son, but his heart has miraculously restored to normal. It's beating at a normal rate. He goes on to say, we can't find anything in there that was originally holding it so that blood could not flow past it. He said, his heart is miraculously restored, and I need you to know that. He goes on and he says, I promise you, it's nothing that I've done. I have never seen this before. So let me tell you this. God just didn't restore my son's heart. Oh, he has transformed him in so many other ways, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. He elevated him. He elevated him. Before, he was struggling, just trying to make ends meet. But once he fully recovered, he is now in a job that he dreamed of. He was blessed with an incredible promotion. But even greater than that, he loved sharing his testimony. He often says, okay, mommy, did you share my story? And I, you know, kind of locks him out. And he loved sharing his testimony. He loved sharing his story. And I tell you, I've been around, and it brings praise every time he tells it. His life has become a testimony that impacts others, and it draws them to trust God. He doesn't drive Uber now because he has to. He drives Uber now part-time to glorify God. So if you get in a car with them, you're going to hear who God is, what God can do, and that he is able. So, because this is what God does, he does not just meet our request. Now, he can, and sometimes you may pray and that may happen. But He transforms lives through the power of Jesus Christ. So it's not about what he can do for us tangibly. It's not about necessarily what we can measure tangibly. It is about he can transform our lives so that we might have eternal lives, so that we might live with him and the Father forever, forever. So today, know that God does not just want to meet your request, but he wants to transform something in your life. Now, you've heard the story of the lame man, and I've shared my son's story, and it's now time for your own story. And here is how it can move. Here's how it can move. First, I challenge each and every one of you, and I challenge myself for this week, to think about one area in your life where maybe, just maybe, you might be limiting your expectations, and where in that situation you're praying just to survive. Just think about it. And then second, as you pray about it this week, already have fine. Ask God what he wants to do in you, not for you, in that situation. Does he want you to pick up your mat and walk? Third, take a step in faith that reflects his trust and not limitations. Because what feels like your greatest need may not be the fullness of what God wants to do in your life. Okay? See, we ask for what will get us by, but we serve a God that responds with transformation. So, I'm going to go forward here, and I just want you to remember that we serve a God that can get us by, which is what we ask for. Keep praying. Don't stop praying. But he responds to transform us. And so, probably should know. I'm going to go ahead and do this. So if you can see an area in your life where your prayers have been small, where you've been asking God just to get through, but today God's inviting you to trust him and to entrust him for more, not more of what it is that you can see, but more of what he wants to do in you.